You are listening to the Staying Gang Women's Basketball Podcast presented by the Greater Texas Ford Dealers on the Midwestern State Digital Network. We'll take a weekly inside look with Coach Christopher Ray into the women's basketball program. We'll recap last week's games and take a look at this week's opponent. It's the Staying Gang Women's Basketball Podcast on the Midwestern State Digital Network.
In Texas, whether it's work or play, Ford trucks lead the way. Like the Ford F-150 with best-in-class payload, or the Ford Super Duty with best-in-class towing. Ford trucks come with premium features that make the Ford F-Series America's best-selling truck for 43 years and the best-selling truck in Texas. Upgrade to a new Ford F-Series today only at your Texas Ford dealer. Ford F-Series. Built for Texas. Built for you. Based on 1977-2019 CY total sales.
You're listening to the Staying Gang Women's Basketball Podcast. I'm Trey Reed, your host, joined by Midwestern State Head Coach Christopher Ray. Glad to have you with another edition, another week of the podcast, and coming off of a huge win over Texas A&M Commerce, who is ranked number 9 in the D2 SIDA poll. No WBCA poll as of yet. That's why you don't see a ranking on the website, because that's usually the baseline, but the coaches haven't had a poll, but nonetheless, it's a team that would probably be in the top 10 if there were a WBCA poll.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, Commerce is a great club. They're balanced all the way around. They can go inside, outside. They've got athleticism and speed. And, we were very fortunate to make that comeback last night.
And when you look at this, this is a program since you've taken over that's protected the home floor very well. It's a fifth straight win on the floor at DL Egan Coliseum. I know, being an alum from here, that brings an added calling to your heart about being able to win in this building.
Yeah, definitely. This is a special building, and we're so fortunate to play in Egan Coliseum, and a lot of it stems from our fans. Just they give us that extra boost and extra energy, and even with Coach Jay, we definitely took pride in protecting our home floor. You know, it's kind of a good formula. If you win all your home games and split on the road, you'll be in a good position come postseason. And so we've been preaching that, and so we're trying to protect home floor every chance we get.
Now, if you were a fan, you're watching the end of the third period last night, or Sunday night, in the DL Egan Coliseum. A&M Commerce gets up by 15. You're able to hit a bucket at the end of the third period. But at that point, there's got to be a little bit of doubt, probably within the Coliseum, of, you know, just being able to come back against a team like Commerce. That took a little coming over adversity and that sort of thing to be able to believe in yourself in order to mount that kind of comeback.
Yeah, definitely. The adversity was there for sure. I mean, we started the game with 9 players that were healthy, and then we lost 2 midway through and didn't seem like we could ever really get anything going. And then in the middle of the third, we had dwindled down their lead down to 6, and then we gave up 2 straight baskets and 2 straight turnovers, and then got back up to 12, and then they made it 15. And so it definitely didn't look good. And just the one thing that we've been preaching to this team, you know, is just one possession every time and live in that moment. You can't predict what's going to come next, and you can't change what just happened. So just live in that moment and take it possession by possession. And we were able to just make that run. And the crazy thing about making a 15-point comeback is if you start that run too early, sometimes the other team can weather the storm and then, figure it out. And then if you start the run too late, then you run out of time. And so we just happened to be right in the right place with all that adversity for it to just work out like it did. And the girls really got down and guarded down that stretch and took care of the glass. And that was the big thing. I think we had, when limiting them to 1 field goal in the last 5 minutes, that was key, just getting defensive rebounds.
And one thing you know about a Jason Burton coach team is that you're going to be pressed and you're going to be pressured. You went into a timeout last night and you're trying to come up with a way to solve this. What was going through your mind and what did you come up with?
Well, in the past, we normally do our normal press break, and it's been working for us for the last several years, but 4 or 5 years ago, we used to run a 1-4 across that a lot of teams in our league did. Tarleton used to do it. West Texas used to do it. And so I was just thinking of a different way that we could break it that they weren't necessarily ready for. And I was kind of hesitant to do it and draw it up because we hadn't worked it yet all season because our other press break had been working pretty well. And, you know, they were just really getting us sped up offensively trying to break the press, and figured this would be an easy way to get an outlet. And we had Sean flashback, and then we get Morgan on the run with nobody behind us, and it worked out. Morgan got several layups, and I think Haven got one as well from a tip in, and so that kind of took the pressure off. And then they just matched up with us full court for a few possessions, and then when we put the press back, they put the press back on, we seemed to have settled down at that point the final 3 minutes, and then we broke it pretty easily. And when the score was tighter, we weren't, you know, in such a rush, and it definitely paid off.
When you look at this team, you hope for your leading scorers to come up big during big games. You had that happen last night with starting with your senior guard Morgan Linehan going for 21 points. She'd, like a lot of the girls, she'd battled through foul trouble in the first half. She did have 7 points in 6 minutes, but she picked up 2 fouls and then came back out in the second half. And sometimes you probably worry about, maybe is she ready to go and loosened up and ready to carry the offensive load, but she was ready.
Yeah, for sure. She was definitely ready. She answered the bell when her moment came, for sure. You know, the kind of cardinal rule in basketball is you pick up 2 fouls in the first half, you need to protect them. But I was standing there and talking with Coach DJ and Coach Toy, and we were like, you know, it's that rule kind of goes out the window when you only have 9 players. And so we had to just roll the dice, and they had to trust them to be smart, because Frances was in the same position where she'd picked up too early. And then with not having Maya healthy, we couldn't expect Turn to go the entire, you know, 14 straight minutes on the floor as our point guard. And so it paid off to get them both back in, and they contributed right away when they came in. So that was nice to have that work in our favor.
And Shaughnessy Miller, she had 18 points, 7 of 15 shooting. Seemed like most of 4 of her 6 free throws, I believe, were in the fourth period. But she's able during stretches to just kind of take over and shoulder that load, especially when she's able to face up in the lane.
Yeah, because she can score from all levels. She can face up and drive and get you the rim. She can hit the mid-range, and she can hit the three. Even though she was 1 of 4 last night, they were all great looks, and I want her shooting all of those. They were inside out. Her feet were set. There was actually one I thought she kind of turned down and resulted in a travel, and I'm looking forward to showing to her that on film. Like, that was one maybe you could have just – you should have let that one fly, because she had hit one just prior to that. And so it's really important for her to be able to continue that confidence scoring the basketball for us.
In that decisive fourth period, you went on a 17-2 run to take the lead, and it looked like it was going to be a 5-point win at the end there. There was a foul at the end. But one of the key contributors, without even scoring a point in that run, was Haven Risley, playing with 4 fouls, able to come away with 3 steals, grab 4 rebounds during that run. It seems like she was just her typical pest in being aggressive, even playing with 4 fouls.
Yeah, credit to Haven. She played an incredible game, even though she only ended up with 5 points. It was all the other intangible stuff that you just mentioned that allowed us to stay aggressive defensively. And when you're making a comeback like that, you can't worry about your foul count. You just got to let it, you know, your aggressiveness and everything you do. And if you happen to get one, you happen to get one. But you can't play cautious, because as soon as you start playing cautious, you're going to give something up in return that might be even worse than you picking up the foul. And no, credit to her to be able to get those steals that she did and be aggressive.
And when you look at Texas A&M Commerce, they did have some girls like Desiree Kernel. What a player she is. 8 of 14 from the field, got to the free throw line, connected on 9, scored 26 points. But what struck me as odd about her going down the stretch is, like, she reaches in and she eliminates herself from a very close game late. I don't really want to criticize her because of that, but she's real force for them, one of the better players I've seen this year.
Yeah, and watching the film back this morning, that was definitely a moment. I think there was a 10-second difference on the shot clock. We were up one, and I really thought they were going to guard out that possession. And whether that was a call from Coach Burton for her to foul in that moment, I don't know what exactly it was. But, yeah, she fouled, and that took her out of the game for her fifth one. But there definitely could have been a scenario where they could have guarded us out and made us try to score versus sending us to the line. And so just different philosophies, I guess. We're just glad it kind of worked out in our favor.
And one thing with Texas A&M Commerce, it seemed like their scoring kind of hit a snag when they had to pull the ball out of the net and set up in a half court. Normally they like to be aggressive, get turnovers with their press and get quick offense that way. But everything seemed to grind to a halt once you were able to slow down your game in the press and get in the half court and score some points.
Yeah, that's key for us. You know, they had 23 points off our turnovers, and so that was a lot of their offense was just our mistakes. And so once we were able to execute and score, we were able to set our defense, get everyone in position. We have a ball stopper making the point guard, you know, turn up and down the floor. It eats clock and allows us to set our rotations, and that was definitely key down the stretch. I mean, our best quarter offensively was the fourth quarter. We shot 56% from the field. That was the highest, you know, outing over the other three, and 26 points for the whole fourth quarter. And so that was definitely key, and it has to be when you're making a comeback like that.
You go into this game against a team ranked 9 in a national poll, and you look down at your bench, and you still have Hannah Reynolds out, and you have Kathana Diaz out, Maya Kendall, and this is before the game, and it's just I think it speaks volumes about the team. That's not what we're really talking about today, but those girls are going to contribute here in the near future.
Yeah, we're looking to get all of them back here in the next week or two, and so we were definitely shorthanded, but Commerce was a little shorthanded too. They were out two of their players, two starters, and we were out two starters, so the game still ended up pretty even. In the event that we're supposed to play them again as part of this addition to the schedule at their place later on in the season, hopefully we don't lose any more games, you know, via cancellations from other teams we're supposed to play and have to do more maneuvering with the schedule. But it'll definitely, hopefully, if we do play each other again at the end of the season, that we'll both teams will be at full strength at their place.
And then during the game, Mandy Withy goes down. She was having an incredible run, 10 points, 5 rebounds, 2 blocks, and a steal. That just seems to be standard fare with Mandy when she's out there, just a really athletic body that seems to have her hands in the right places most of the time. But she rolled her ankle going for a rebound. Do you expect to have her back soon?
Yes, I do. I think later this week we'll get her tons of treatment over the next 3 or 4 days, and hopefully she'll for sure be back versus UT Tyler. And, you know, I think Mandy is just starting to scratch the surface of what she's really capable of. I think she has an extremely bright future for us, and so excited that she's part of our program.
And Markayla Johnson, if there wasn't bad luck this year, there'd be no luck at all for her. She battles her way back from one injury and then runs into a blind screen at the end of the first half and rolls her ankle. So she just scored her first points and had a good week of practice and was playing well.
Yeah, that was my first thought when I saw her fall down was, man, we just got her back. And she started grabbing her ankle, and because she was playing well, she had a jumper on the baseline, got fouled, and hit 2 free throws. And then, most of the time, what Mark, a lot of people don't see is just her intangible defense. She's so athletic to be able to guard just about anybody that she comes across. And so, we hope to get her back as well by the end of the week. Definitely some promising signs there, and. You know, if there's anybody I want to get back, it's Mark, because she's, you know, when she dislocated her finger right before Sam Houston, it was unfortunate timing, and we've been getting that thing back, and just having her seeing on the sidelines has, been, you know, a little bit of a heartache, but she's been staying in shape and running because she can't, you know, compete with a messed up finger. But when we got her cleared early last week, we were extremely excited.
So Midwestern State coming off of 85-82 win over Texas A&M Commerce. We'll talk about the upcoming schedule and a few other things coming up next. You're listening to the Sting Gang Women's Basketball Podcast on the Mustangs Digital Network.
In Texas, whether it's work or play, Ford trucks lead the way. Like the Ford F-150 with best-in-class payload, or the Ford Super Duty with best-in-class towing. Ford trucks come with premium features that make the Ford F-Series America's best-selling truck for 43 years and the best-selling truck in Texas. Upgrade to a new Ford F-Series today only at your Texas Ford dealer. Ford F-Series, built for Texas, built for you. Based on 1977-2019 CY total sales.
Hey, football fans, leave the Hail Marys for the game and go for the sure thing when it comes to satisfying your craving. When you pick up Raising Cane's for game day, all you have to worry about is the score. Because we've got the food covered with fresh, never ever frozen chicken fingers, Cane sauce, and jugs of freshly made tea and lemonade. Our chicken fingers are always hand battered and cooked to order. So no matter the score, you'll always win. Raising Cane's chicken fingers, one love.
We've invented a new messaging system using the crisp sounds of Bud Light. Crisp Code, Lesson 42. This is how you say happy hour. It's happy hour. Let's go get some Bud Lights. That's it for today.
Brewed with no corn syrup. Bud Light. Crisp. Enjoy responsibly. Bud Light Beer. Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
When you do whatever it takes to get the job done, they say you're on it. At ASCO Equipment, we are on it. It's what we learned as kids, what our parents taught us. To work hard, get the job done, and get it done right. We partnered with Case Construction Equipment because they get the job done too. You can buy and rent Case equipment from us and we'll service and support it. Just like we support you, because we're on it. Whatever it is, at ASCO, we're on it.
You're listening to the Sting Gang Women's Basketball Show on the Mustangs Digital Network. This is your host, Trey Reed. I'm joined by Midwestern State Head Women's Basketball Coach Christopher Ray. And, Coach, I know at the end of these games that it's something I really appreciate about you, but it just your emotions come out at these times, like in the post-game press conference, in the post-game interview with Pete Stein, and just when you get through with this and you head over and you're thinking about a win like this, what's your thought process when you're going through there? I mean, what are you thinking about, and is it just the win, or is this all these emotions? Like, where does that come from?
It's just competitive nature. And the biggest thing last night was one of my first thoughts was Coach Jay. After every one of our games, my first thought usually is her, but that one definitely, we've had, of all the teams that we wanted to beat, obviously we want to beat Tarleton, we want to beat WT, and, Cameron is a rival, but Commerce was always one of those ones that we, her and I really wanted to beat most of the time because we knew it was a real tough challenge. And I've known Jason Burton since middle school. And so, it was always, good to be one up one of that, because we always used to go against each other in the Plano throughout high school. And so it was just kind of just roller coaster of emotions, really, and not much else to say on that.
So when you meet or someone or a friend like Jason Burton, and with what he's been able to do at Commerce during his time there over the last 5 years, they've really blossomed and done some really big things, and now you're getting a chance as a head coach and seeing some early success here. In fact, I don't know if you even know about this yet, but in the D2 SIDA regional rankings just came up here today, Midwestern State moved into number 7 with the 2 wins over Commerce and West Texas A&M, carrying a big load as far as being able to jump into a regional ranking like that.
Yeah, no, it's definitely big for our program to be able to start making our way and get confidence that we can get back to where we were, back during our, truly successful years, and that's been our goal. To get back to that, and when you start beating ranked teams, you're going to jump up in the rankings. And so now, when we play teams that aren't ranked, we still have to take care of business. And so that'll be our focus going forward into this week.
and one thing that I noticed just with your interactions with student athletes and how you care about this school. And but what's been the biggest jump from being an assistant coach and going through the things that you had to go through last year and having these even more enhanced relationships with the student athletes, but now in the role of a head coach?
I don't know how much it's really changed. I mean, you know, obviously I was blessed with Coach Jay, and she put me in a position to, you know, to where it doesn't feel like it's that different. Obviously, you know, I would love for Coach Jay to still be here. And so, but everything that we're doing now, I mean, we've made little tweaks and stuff here, but it's no real different than what we would have done, you know, with her here. We're always tweaking stuff. The biggest thing that Coach Jay always taught me was our core philosophy of caring about the kids, making sure they're successful on and off the court. And so, you know, we're talking to them all the time, trying to make sure that they're okay, making sure their grades are good. And obviously, during the break, you know, we don't have to worry about grades, so that's nice, and we get to see them a lot more. And so we're trying to just stay with them. And then this year we're trying to keep them safe and away from COVID. And so we're trying to make sure that we're calling out our bubble like the pros did. And, you know, we want to keep that intact so we can keep playing and just getting them to be around each other. And I think that's kind of been one unique thing about this year, is because they're not socializing outside of the court with other people on campus, which is not normally a bad thing, but this year they're really having to pour into themselves because there's no one else that they need to be around to try and to keep their, you know, stay COVID free.
Now, you gave one description this weekend that really hit me right in the heart. When you're describing one of the girls, she said, yeah, she's a good kid. Well, that says a lot to me. One that says that you believe in her, and two, that you've seen traits that you really like, so you poured some time in as well. I mean, I'm not trying to put words in your mouth at all, but I mean, but that's, when I hear that, that's what it means to me, and it means a lot that you would say that.
Yeah, and that's, you know, part of the core of our program is we want to have not only great players, but we want to have great people. And because normally, you know, positive things happen to positive people. And so you're positive, you're doing everything you're supposed to do in a positive light. It's going to carry over into your academics and your school and your family and your faith. And so that's been one of the things that we've had a few, you know, bad eggs here and there. But ultimately, what I always came back to was the integrity of the program. And usually those people didn't last. And right now, I really love this group. This is a great group. And everyone is bought in and everyone's contributing, and hopefully we continue to do the right things and continue to improve. It could be something special.
So when you're wanting to make that next move, and obviously there's pressure, is some of that in your mind, is that like perceived pressure, like from the outside, that, hey, you know, this is a group I really want to push to win, and or is it just something that's just a natural competitive fire kind of thing?
Yeah, it's a natural competitive fire, and really with pressure, we really don't talk about that very often. We talk about our core of what we do, our rules on you know, defense, offensive philosophy, and all that. And if we follow what we're supposed to do, everything else will take care of itself. I mean, it's not always going to be perfect because you can't script everything in terms of wins and losses and all that. But if you're taking care of what your core part is, then you'll be happy and satisfied, and you'll be good with how it unfolds.
And when you talk about some of the girls, like we, you know, we've mentioned Haven Risley winning a defensive player of the week, first time in her career, and you see the comments from her family and stuff through social media, just the pride that they take in their daughter, their family member, which is awesome. I mean, that makes me feel good whenever you see that. But what does that mean to a program to have that kind of confidence boost at that time, especially with a player and a person like Haven Risley?
It's great. It just gives you that extra little confidence in the back of your head, knowing that all your hard work is paying off. And Haven's been our rock all season. She's been the most consistent player day in and day out. She always comes to work. There's never a day that she's like, nah, I'm not going to try today. Like, that's just not in her being. And so it rubs off on the rest of the team. And you know, I've been around basketball and just watching sports in general. You hear that no matter what the team sport is, but if you have someone who just is consistent day in and day out, everyone else is going to gravitate to it. And the girls that, you know, when we sent out the notice that she got it, and I think there's probably every girl congratulated her in our group text, and I'm sure they all called her and texted them themselves, and you know, they're all rallying around each other.
Now you head into a new week, and I know what the schedule says, but it seems like this year that doesn't mean like a whole lot. But as of right now, and hopefully it goes through, but going to play UT Tyler Friday and Saturday at D.O. Ligon Coliseum. Gosh, as you look at the schedule now, it seems like those home dates are getting fewer and fewer very quickly. And what do you look for this weekend when you – In UT Tyler, they're usually more of a hard-nosed kind of team, want to slow the game down a bit. But what do you see as being the biggest challenge from the Patriots?
The biggest challenge is they've got a lot of new faces, so we're going to have to learn their new personnel. Coach Mosier, I think this is her second or third year. She kind of had some turnover, had a lot of seniors last year, and they're making their jump from D3 to D2, and so you know, we'll have to learn that. And then, but the focus really for the most part is still going to be on us. How we finished the game against Commerce, where we got down and guarded and rebounded. That's going to be the first and foremost. That's part of the core pillars that, like I mentioned earlier, where as long as we do those, it'll hopefully work out in our favor.
Now, when you look at the Lone Star Conference standings, you guys have played or will play the top teams in the future coming up, because you have Lubbock Christian is the only unbeaten team. Well, the only unbeaten team that's played. Angelo State has yet to play, so of course they haven't been beaten either. And then Texas A&M Commerce, they're 4-1, gave them their only loss so far. And then Texas A&M International was 6-1. They were supposed to come in here for two games. What's the update with that? Still the schedule still coming up for the Dust Devils, I believe.
Yeah, we're still in talks with them. They're going to be one of the hardest teams to reschedule during this whole COVID thing, just because we're so far apart, being 9-hour drive. But I think we'll hopefully work something out. And then just the way things are going, if our opponent gets knocked out and their opponent gets knocked out on the same weekend, well, then maybe we can slide in and finally play that series. And then, you know, it'll be like that for the remainder of the season, where it could change. And we hope that we can play Tyler this week, because it'd be nice to, you know, play someone who we're scheduled to play versus trying to find someone in the last, you know, 24 hours before we tip off. It has been kind of nerve-wracking, to say the least, on a coaching staff side of things.
Not only is it just not knowing who you're going to play, but you guys pour a lot of time into scouting and getting to know what to do with these teams. How much was it? A challenge was that, because I know I had Shatoya Gober in with the scout. I imagine she's one of the most chill people around, but I imagine she was a little bit stressed too.
Yeah, no, we were all a little bit stressed, and we all kind of chipped in on that scout to help her out, because it was a quick turnaround. We were really actually kind of lucky, because we were prepping to play St. Ed's 2 weeks earlier, and so Commerce had just played St. Ed's, and so as we were scouting St. Ed's, we actually got our first look at Commerce. So that was a kind of a nice little blessing that we had at least seen them on film going against someone who we thought we were about to play. And so that's nice, because I haven't seen everybody on our, you know, that we're going to play yet, and because the season's still young. And so that's probably one thing we're going to have to do, is we need to peek in on everybody in the conference and just watch them for a couple minutes, just in case. They might end up being free and we're free, and we might end up needing to play each other. So we'll just have to do a good job of that.
Yes, the season is young, but if you're wanting to come out and catch the Mustangs on back-to-back nights, this is going to be your last scheduled chance to do that, with UT Tyler coming in. The rest of the crossover series for MSU are all on the road. Texas Women's on January 22nd and 23rd, and Oklahoma Christian on February 5th and 6th. And the rest of them are home and home series, with Lubbock Christian coming on January 27th and 30th. Hopefully Angelo State on February 18th and 20th. And then UT Permian Basin to close the season on February 25th and 27th. So now you've got your one divisional series done with West Texas A&M. Split, you guys looked really good against them. I know the result in Canyon wasn't what you wanted, but it wasn't anything that was overwhelming from what I saw either.
No, that result at West Texas, I mean, we had some lulls, but I was still pleased with how we played. There wasn't anything where I was overly concerned that, you know, we were in dire need of some overhaul or anything, and we just needed to stay the course on what we do, and it paid off against Commerce, you know, down the stretch. But yeah, no, we're looking forward to playing two games this weekend under the dome in front of our crowd. It'll be a good test for us. Coach Mosier, from the times we've played them the last couple of years, she's going to have the team ready to go. And, you know, the one thing that I'll definitely mention to our team, you know, once you start beating some ranked teams, you know, that's going to put a bullseye on our chest. Not that that's extra pressure. It's just we got to do what we do, but people are going to gun for us. But we've been saying that for the last decade, that the people gun for us because we're Midwestern State, because of the rest of our programs and the other sports have been so successful here over the years, that everyone wants to beat Midwestern no matter what sport and where your standing's at. And so we got to know that everyone's going to be gunning for us, and we got to take care of our job.
Definitely looking forward to watching this team continue to grow, and wish you the best of luck this weekend. And, you know, like I've always told you, that if there's anybody I want to see succeed as a fellow alumni, and I really meant that, and I'm looking forward to another great weekend on the court.
Thank you, appreciate it.
So Midwestern State taking on UT Tyler January 15th, this Friday at 5:30 p.m. at DL Legan Coliseum, and then the two teams will square off again at 3:30 on Saturday. You can catch all those games on the Mustangs Digital Network. You can video stream it, or you can listen to Pete Stein on the audio stream as well. You've been listening to the Staying Gang Women's Basketball Show on the Mustangs Digital Network. Staying Gang Basketball Podcast, presented by the Greater Texas Ford Dealers, drop weekly on the Midwestern State Digital Network. We invite you to keep up with the podcast on social media at MSU Mustangs on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Want to listen to or download the cast? Go to MSUMustangs.com/podcast. You've been listening to the Staying Gang Podcast, presented by the Greater Texas Ford Dealers on the Midwestern State Digital Network.